Thanks, Mike. So if I were to ask you to assess your last week, or let's say the last month, all right, and I was to give you a pad of paper and a pen, and I said, I want you to think back the last month of your life, and I want you to list all of your sins. All right. I know this is an uplifting way to start a message, isn't it? So if I gave you a pad of paper and a pen and I said, all right, think back the last month. I want you to write down all the ways that you sinned, all the sins that you have in your life. Would it be a long list? Would it be just like one sin with a bunch of check marks because you're struggling with that one sin? What would your list? What would it look like? And probably more importantly or more interestingly is where would you go to define the list to understand or define where and how you've sinned? For example, would you go to the Ten Commandments and say, okay, let's just walk through the Ten Commandments and say, well, I haven't murdered anybody in the last month, so I'm obviously here, not in handcuffs, and so I got that one going. But then Jesus said what in the New Testament? If you look on somebody with hatred in your heart, it's the same as committing murder. So we may have to reassess that one, right, if we look back over the last month. I haven't committed adultery, haven't cheated on my spouse over the last month, but then Jesus said what about committing adultery? If you look on someone with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery, right? So some may have to kind of backtrack and say, oh, wait, have I done that one? We probably look at lying. Have I told any lies? And let's face it, that's probably the one that most people are like, you know what, I may have even inadvertently lied to somebody or did so to save somebody's feelings, right? But that's probably a big one that we would say, well, have I told any lies over the last month? We might look to the New Testament. In James, it says, if you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, what is it? That's sin, right? So we may have to look back over the last month and say, did God present any situations right in front of me where I didn't do what he was calling me to do, and I have to jot that one down potentially as the sin I've committed. But I think that there's one sin that I think that we've just completely overlooked in our society today. And I would say even in the Old Testament, it was overlooked also. In fact, there was a king named Josiah. He became a king when he was 8 years old. And they were going through and they were redoing or rebuilding some of the temple and fixing things up. And they found the books of the law, which tells us what? They had not been reading or studying the books of the law for a long time. He found them. They had them read to him. And he started weeping and tore his clothes and sat in ashes, just repenting and calling himself out before God. And so I'm guessing that this one thing that they were overlooking also and had not been acknowledging either. And the one thing, that one sin that I think that we overlook as much as any other sin and any of them in the Ten Commandments is this. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's right. You're going to hear a sermon today about taking a break. I can't get an amen for that. Come on. I mean, let's hear it, right? All this other hard work stuff, we get to talk about one that's taking a break today, right? In fact, in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, 60% of the words, 60% of the words to give us the Ten Commandments or that God gave Moses to give to the Israelites are focused on two commandments. One is not having any idols, which is kind of right in conflict with the whole Sabbath thing, right? And the other one is keeping the Sabbath. That's how important it was to God that that message was relayed. He just said, don't murder, don't lie, don't covet your neighbor's stuff. But he went on and on about the Sabbath and on about having idols. And so I want us to look at today in this whole Guide to Greatness series, what does it look like to Sabbath? Why did God put that in there? Why was it so important? Now, all the work ethic stuff we talk about, we're trying to drill into our kids. Why would God put this thing in there that says, hey, and by the way, every seventh day, do nothing? Why is that so important? So in Exodus chapter 20, this is where we read about the Sabbath initially. And this is God, again, giving these laws to Moses to give to the Israelites. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant. So you have to give the maid and the butler the day off that day too, by the way. All right, write that down because I know you got those, right? Or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. We cannot ignore the fact that Sabbath celebrated is top 10. It's in the Ten Commandments. I mean, as I talked about whether or not you've sinned over the last week or the last month, you got to admit, we all go to the Ten Commandments and say, well, does the Ten Commandments say that I've sinned? I mean, that's their go-to, right? When we think about other people sinning and wanting to judge sin and say, let's not sin, where do we start? We start in the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath is there. It's a top ten. It's a top ten where God says, you must remember this. So there's two words in the Hebrew that refer to or that are used for Sabbath. One is called Shabbat. All right, I want you to say that on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three, Shabbat. And that just simply means to stop working. The other word is pronounced Nuach. And I like saying that one because it sounds like you're hawking up a loogie. All right? I don't think I'm supposed to say that from stage. All right? So on the count of three, I want you to say Nuach. All right? One, two, three, Nuach. Yeah. And it means to settle or to rest. And as you look at the verses early on when God, when it says that God took a rest, it says that he stopped working and then he rested. It uses Sabbath or rest both times, but it's talking about stopping work and resting. Missy Takano, who's a public speaker and leads a Christian organization, said this: we Shabbat in order to Nuach. When we stop working, we can truly rest in God's presence. Isn't that a beautiful picture that we have of what God is relaying to us through Moses, that we stop working in order just to rest in God's presence, just to be the people that God created us to be. In Exodus 33:14, and it says, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Now, the importance of this, and I know since the beginning of the year, really since about last year, I was listening to a podcast, and this, my eyes were just opened up to what this was all about, and I just had not picked up on it before, because we read the creation order, and we read about creation, and the fall, and the flood, and all those things, and we're reading it as history, which it is, but we often forget who's writing it, and to whom he's writing it to. And he's writing it to these group of Israelites that have been in slavery for hundreds of years. And as God is using Moses to bring them out of Egypt and take them to the promised land, he's stopping along the way to say, listen to me, I'm a God that wants to give you rest. That's how different your life is now going to be compared to what it was when you were working 7 days a week from sunup to sundown, working your finger to the bone, having taskmasters beating you to a pulp. That's not what life is meant to be for you, my creation. You're meant to have rest. In Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 through 12, it says this. This is the law and how it's described. For 6 years, you shall sow your land and gather in its yield. But the seventh year, you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat. And what they leave, the beasts of the field may eat. You shall do likewise with your vineyard and with your olive orchard. 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. In Genesis chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. When it comes to the Sabbath, God, one, showed us, he gave an example. Did he need to rest after creating the world for 6 days? He's God. He doesn't need rest. But he did it to model and to show us what it meant and what being created by him, how to function at our full capacity meant. And it means that after 6 days of hard work, our bodies, our minds, our emotions, we need to rest. We need to rest. And he not only established it at creation, but he also reminded the people of Israel through Moses and through the law, saying, you have to do this. Now imagine if you're a farmer and you were being instructed that every seventh year you couldn't farm your land. That you had to tell somebody, you can't do that. We're just going to let the land rest. And how much faith or trust that would take. I'm a big admirer of Chick-fil-A. In fact, you know, after the movie on Tuesday, we should go to Chick-fil-A because that's what God's people do when they get together. So we'll do that instead of Taco Bell. You're welcome. All right. But I admire their model because, I mean, closing on a Sunday, a weekend, when all the church people you know would go to Chick-fil-A that are within a 10-mile radius, right? Because it's a Christian organization. But to actually close your doors and say that's going to be our business model in this day and age, that's just ludicrous. But you have to admire them for saying, listen, this is what our character is. This is what our values are. Hobby Lobby, not a big fan. A few weekends ago, I went to 3 in one day. But I do it, right? I go there. My wife wants to go. Makes her happy. That's all right. But Hobby Lobby is the same way. Closing on Sunday, you think, man, what a shopping day that they're letting go. But they do so to say, no, this is important to us. This is important to us. And that's what God is establishing with his people. And in Exodus 5, 6, and 7, it seemed to have backfired. So Moses went to the Israelites. God said, listen, Moses, here's the message to give to the Israelites. Here's the message to give to the leaders. I'm going to rescue them and I'm take them out of slavery. We're going to leave slavery in Egypt and go to the promised land. And so if you remember, he was given Aaron as a spokesperson, and they go to the people. They go to the leaders first of Israel, and the leaders of Israel are like, yeah, that sounds awesome. We're so glad that God has heard us, that he's going to rescue us. This is amazing. And then Moses goes to Pharaoh and says the same thing. And Pharaoh says what? I don't know this God. Get out of my face. Moses, you're keeping the people from working. You need to just get out of here. And the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, you shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And so he was working right against God, because God had created them to have a rest every seventh day. And Moses comes and says, we're going to rest you. But he said, Pharaoh said, you know what? We're going to make it even more difficult. My point in this, those verses, is that the Sabbath celebrated is man's makeup. We were made to have this break. God created us to have a Sabbath. He created his land and his world to be able to rest every seventh year so that it would be even more productive the following year. That's the makeup that he gave us. The taskmasters were going after the Israelites, and why was it so difficult? But was it because they had to gather more their own resources to make the break? Yeah, that made it tough. All these different things, but the fact of the matter is, what was most difficult is they weren't made to work 7 days a week. They were created, you and I were created to work 6 days and to rest on the seventh. That's the makeup that God has for the design of his creation. You're supposed to work for six and take a break on the seventh. In Exodus 16:5, it says, on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. What has happened is that Moses has taken his people across the wilderness, and they start to grumble about not having something to eat, right? I can understand. I would start grumbling if I was going somewhere. We left in a hurry. We got no food. I'm thinking, all right, what's the plan here, Moses? It doesn't seem like it's going to be a good one because I'm hungry right now. And Moses cried out to God, and God allowed them to have this manna that came from the sky. And every morning they'd go out, and this manna would be covering the ground. It looked like dew, but they would go gather it up. And the instructions were that they would go out every morning, and they would gather enough for the day. However much you wanted, and they gave a measurement of like an omer per person. They said, however many are in your family, gather that much so that they're content for the day, but don't gather enough for tomorrow. Because if you do, what's going to happen? It's going to be have maggots, stagnant stink. It's going to be awful. It's going to go bad. But what happens on the sixth day when they gather 2 days worth? It's going to be fresh and it's going to be good. So God's going to perform a miracle for them. So on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it'll be twice as much as they gather daily. And in Exodus 16, it says they didn't listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, lay aside to be kept until the morning. So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. God performed a miracle for them in order to help them understand, I want you to have rest. Now, if there's not a lesson just in those few verses, I don't know what the lesson is about the Sabbath. Because Sabbath celebrated is our trust tested. It's our trust tested. Leviticus 25. And if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? If we may not sow or gather in our crop, I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year so that it will produce a crop sufficient for 3 years. When you sow in the eighth year, you will be eating some of the old crop. You shall eat the old until the ninth year when its crop arrives. I think celebrating the Sabbath takes a huge amount of trust. We have to trust God. Let's face it. Some of us need to work as many hours as we can to keep the lights on, the roof over our head, the car payment paid, the food on the table. All of those things. We put this demand on our life that I need to work. I need the hours. I need the money to take care of these things. Again, a farmer, they're like, I can't take a seventh year off. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's like a year's worth of crops. And we have to wait for it to start up the next year to have any yield from it. But if we truly trust in God, if we truly trust Him, is taking a Sabbath, He's going to work miracles in our life, maybe to provide for us, to give us the rest that we need, maybe to fill our tank when we're absolutely exhausted. He works miracles when we follow who He is and who He created us to be. He works miracles. He is a God of miracles. And when we follow Him, when we trust Him, He comes through every single time. Always in the way that we want it or expect it? Nope. But He always provides. And I think celebrating the Sabbath, acknowledging the Sabbath, taking a day of rest, takes a huge amount of trust. And the people of Israel were no different. And God actually said to them, because they said, listen, you might be asking yourselves, well, how are we going to eat if we give the land this whole year of rest? And He's like, I'm going to make your sixth year so incredibly bountiful that you'll be able to take a year off from growing things. You'll be able just to eat out of what just grows naturally. And then the eighth year, there will even be enough that you'll still be eating on that sixth year. That's how awesome our God is, that He would take care of us in that way. But we have to trust Him. We saw that the Israelites struggled with that trust, didn't they? Some of them didn't listen to Moses. They went out and gathered more so that they could have some the next day. Why would they do that? Because they were hungry. And they didn't know if this God that maybe some of them are in a brand new relationship with Him, that He's really going to come through and have food out there on the next day. And so they go out and they're like, you know, let's just tuck an omer into the back corner just in case that it doesn't really come through like we think. And we need that maybe for a snack in the morning or whatever. And they go to it the next day and it stinks and there's maggots and worms. But more importantly, there's the disappointment of God. The disappointment of an all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God that sees them sneaking their omer of manna in the corner of the tent, thinking that nobody sees it. But God does. He knows our heart. When we go to Sabbath, but our heart's not in it, God knows that too. He knows when He needs to work miracles, and He knows when He needs to test us. And we need to be found faithful when it comes to following Him. And yes, even with the Sabbath. So all of that to bring you to our core verses of today, which is in Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus, if we follow Jesus' life and His ministry in the Gospels, what's the one day that He's always being called on or always working miracles and just pushing and testing the Pharisees and Sadducees? It's the Sabbath, right? I mean, they're not always complaining about, hey, you healed that guy. It's not that you healed that guy. It's what? You healed him on the Sabbath, right? What are they doing here? It's on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do all these things on the Sabbath. And we get this huge lesson from Jesus about how, I think, how we should celebrate the Sabbath today. So Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through 28. One Sabbath, He was going through the grain fields, and as they make their way, His disciples began to pluck heads of grain, which is, to the Pharisees and the religious leaders, against the law when it comes to the Sabbath. The Sabbath for them would have started on a Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. and gone to Saturday at 6 o'clock p.m. The Pharisees were saying to Him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And Jesus said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him? And He said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So Jesus is referring to this time in 1 Samuel when David was on the run from Saul because Saul wanted to kill him. And his men were hungry. He had 500-600 guys that were following David. And they were hungry and they came to a place where the bread of the presence, which is a place only the priests were supposed to eat this. Priests didn't have an inheritance. They were living off what other people brought and this kind of stuff. And so David came in and he's like, my guys are hungry. Do you have anything? And Abiathar, the priest, like, well, I have stuff, but it's, I mean, David, you know the rules. This is where it is. And he's like, well, I need it, right? And why did he need it? Because they were hungry. Bread was made for man, not man for bread. And Jesus' whole lesson in this is simply this. Sabbath is there for man. Rest, Shabbat, rest, stop working. That's for man, not man for Sabbath. So the Sabbath is not meant to be this idol that we put up high and say, you know what, I'm not going to do anything today because I want to worship Sabbath. No, that's not the point. The Sabbath day was created for man because God knew when he created man that we need rest. Yes, we need to work hard those other 6 days of the week, but when it comes to that seventh day, we need to rest. And Sabbath celebrated is peak performance. It's peak performance. We function the best when we have our day of rest. That kind of rhymed. That'll preach, won't it? We function best when we have our day of rest. Here's two articles, not from Christian organizations, okay? This is from the Cleveland Clinic website. Your brain needs a rest now and then. A little downtime is important for your brain health. Research has found that taking breaks can improve your mood, boost your performance, and increase your ability to concentrate and pay attention. Wives, if you're having a hard time with your husband paying attention to you when you're talking to him, one, you may need some marriage counseling, but second, maybe it's time just to let him take a break. All the men said, amen. There you go. This one's from Forbes magazine. Forbes magazine, not a Christian outlet, but Forbes magazine. This is kind of funny because it's straight from Scripture. Taking time off will allow you to work more efficiently whenever you get back to it. Set aside 1 day each week to unplug, to improve productivity, and feel a greater sense of accomplishment. I don't know who that guy is or if he referenced Scripture. I'm guessing not. But is that not straight from the Bible? Even Forbes magazine, they're like, listen, if you want to be more productive, you need to take a break. You need to take a day off. In Matthew 11, 29, 30, Jesus said this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We were created by God to have a break. 1 day a week that we're supposed to rest. That we're supposed to just rest. And Jesus says, listen, you need to lay your burdens on me. Because this rest that you take is to replenish your soul. It's to help you be more productive, more efficient the rest of the week. Even in doing God's work. But we need to have that day of rest. In Psalm 81, the psalmist wrote this, I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. He's referring, of course, to the Exodus and God leading his people out of slavery in Egypt. And what does he say about it? It wasn't, I relieved you from being beaten. It wasn't, I relieved you from being enslaved. It was, I relieved your shoulder of the burden. God wants us to have rest. Because he knows when we have our day of rest, we'll be more productive. And life with rest is living light. Life with rest is living light. One, it's casting all of our cares and burdens on Jesus so that he can make our burden lighter. But the second thing is we become an example and a light for others to see that taking a break is what God has planned for his creation. It can be an opportunity to have a discussion with somebody about what it means to really Sabbath. And to rest. So here's your Summer Impact Challenge. You thought I forgot about it. I didn't say it in the announcements. It's probably a no-brainer. Are you ready for it? You might want to write this one down. You need to have a Sabbath day this week. Just take a Sabbath day this week. Take a Sabbath day this week. This one, the Bible Project, is a really cool website to go to if you've never done that before. But they said this, Sabbath is not a commandment we are bound to. It's a promise we're invited to enjoy. It's a promise we're invited to enjoy. So I want you just to have a Sabbath day over the course of the next week. All right? And here are some suggestions. One, turn off your phone. Two, turn off the rest of the electronic garbage in your house. Facebook, I know you're going to start get the nervous twitches about 10 a.m., all right, some of you. Just turn it off. Just turn it off. There was a day, remember when we were growing up, we didn't even know what any of this stuff was, and we survived just fine. Just turn it off. Take a day and just turn it off. I heard one guy said that if you are someone that works with your hands, like that's your job, your manual labor and work with your hands, on the Sabbath day you shouldn't do anything with your hands. You shouldn't be working any kind of physical labor. If you're someone that works a more mentally challenging job where you're sitting at a computer and you're thinking and vision casting and all that, that your Sabbath day should be about maybe working with your hands so it can just give you a break. I love when Freedom Builders texts and says, hey, we have a project, because I go to every one of them that I can because it just gives me a mental break and just allows me to get out. I don't know what I'm doing with these wheelchair ramps. They say, get that board. And I say, oh, okay, I'll get that board. I put a screw here. Okay, I know how to do that. I don't care. It's just giving myself a mental break. And so that's another suggestion for you. When it comes to your day of rest, if you're someone that works with your hands, give your hands a break. Someone that mentally challenging, just give your brain a break that day. I would recommend, if you really want to turn it up a notch, do all your food preparation the day before. Or, dare I say, buy some paper plates and plastic cups so that on your Sabbath day of rest, you might have just cold-cut sandwiches, something really easy. You don't have to do dishes. You don't have to labor in the kitchen a whole bunch. That you can truly just rest. Just rest. Why? Because God created us for it. He created us to take that break so that we could be at our most efficient and most productive the other 6 days a week. What does it look like for you to take a break? Now, I don't want us to be bound by the law. Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Maybe your Sabbath is today. You came to church and you're just going to chill out the rest of the day. And that's awesome. I don't get that luxury because, well, I'm working right now. I don't know. This is work, in case you didn't know. It's a pretty cool job. You ought to check into it sometime. My break's going to be Friday, and I've told my wife already. I said, you know what? Friday, I'm going to turn my phone off. She can't believe it, but that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn my phone off, and we're just going to chill out the whole day and just relax. Why? Because I just need a break. And I'm as guilty as anyone of on my day off taking that phone call or maybe checking in on a church thing. We're going to go to Travers, well, as anything on the list and the board that we need to get at Sam's while I'm over there. And I just need to just tune out for a day. Why? We need that break. God created us to have that break. And it doesn't matter if it's Friday for you, it's Friday. If it's Saturday for you, if it's Sunday for you, whatever that day may be, we need to take a break. Now, this is probably the easiest one I'm giving you, at least the most desirable challenge I'm giving you this summer. Is it not? Just take a break. If mowing the grass is relaxing for you, fine, mow the grass. But if you're doing anything that you feel like you have to do, I don't think that's Sabbathing. If you're doing anything that you feel like, you know, if I don't get this done, or if I don't do that, or if I don't do that, I don't think that's a break. We need to truly have a day a week where we just unwind, where we just let things go, that we just rest and do so in the presence of a holy God, acknowledging Him throughout the day, thanking Him for rest, thanking Him for rest. And I think if we trust God enough to do so, He's going to work miracles. He's going to provide in miraculous ways. He's going to follow through. He's going to comfort. He's going to watch over you. He's going to do those things. Why? Because we're being faithful. We're being faithful and just saying we want to be who God created us to be. And we want to live how He created us to live. So who wants to take a break this week? Who wants to shut it down this week? Let's all take a Sabbath and enjoy God's presence, resting in His presence. The Guide to Greatness is a series that we're in. And this greatness is God. It's not you and I. And a guide to the greatness that is God is that He sees His creation. He knows His creation. And He knows we need a break. So let's take one. Father, You are awesome and holy. And we don't know why You created us to need a break. But the fact is You did. And I think sometimes it's just so that You can test us to see if we truly do have faith in You. That we truly do trust You to come through when we take a day off. It seems so simple and it seems so easy, Father, to just say, I'm just going to not do anything that day, just to take a break with that day. But Father, You know how fast our world works. And you and I know how things are moving around us and that it can be really challenging. So, Father, help us to be a faithful people and to trust you and just shut it down one day this week. Show us what day it is. Maybe we have to do some planning for it. I don't know. But, Lord, just lay it on our heart to just shut it down for a day so that we can rejuvenate, we can replenish, and be ready to face what you have for us the next 6 days. Thank you, Lord God, for rest. May we enjoy it and rest in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you stand? Let's sing.